This feast of the Holy Family focuses for us on the Holy Family of Nazareth, of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. That's the shrine we have over here. That's the way that we think about the feast. But if we pay attention to the scriptures today, what we begin to recognize is that actually the cast of characters just in our scripture readings today is far larger. And so we have, yes, the Holy Family, what we think of as a traditional family of parents and child. But also in our scriptures today, we have Abraham and Sarah, who for most of their marriage are childless. And only then late in life do they have a child, a miracle child, if you will. We also have, in today's gospel, we have Anna. Anna, who was married, and we should recognize the symbolic value of the numbers, not just simply chronological, that seven is a perfect number. And so being married for 7 years is not a description of the length of the marriage so much as saying that it was a happy marriage. It was a perfect marriage. But then her husband died, and so she was a widow apparently for a great many years, until she was 84. Again, 12 times 7, perfect numbers. So she is the fullness of age. And so we have a widow. And then we have Simeon. Simeon, and we have no information about him, whether he was married, whether he was unmarried, perhaps his whole life. And so what we have is we have a breadth of different kinds of people, different kinds of life situations, all a part of this feast of the Holy Family. And in fact, in our canticle of Simeon, we are reminded of the greatness of God's plan, that this child, Jesus, has come as a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. So not simply one who has come to save his own people, to save Israel, to be the fulfillment of the hopes and the promises of Israel for a Messiah, for a Savior, but in fact, the whole world. And so this feast of the Holy Family, our scriptures today would remind us, is a reminder that it embraces all of humanity, that we have a special focus on the Holy Family of Nazareth, and we honor their witness and these holy people who become a model of marriage and a family life in a special kind of way. But it is a reminder to us that all of us are embraced in God's plan. All of us are called to be holy people in holy relationships, whatever our particular state of life is, whatever our particular family situation might be. And so it's not just simply for traditional family parents and children being raised, adult children, but for us all. It is also, I think, a reminder to us that we are called to remember that God has, God's grace and God's providence is a part of our lives and a part of God's plan, in a sense, for our family. We have, in the families in today's readings, very dramatic. So Abram concerned in his old age about who will be my heir, and thinking that he's going to have to make end-of-life arrangements, that going to be finding an heir because he doesn't have anyone to pass it on to. And of course, God intervenes because God has a plan for Abraham and for Sarah and for the whole people that are going to come from them. In the Holy Family, we certainly have, we know God's plan for Mary, for Joseph, and certainly for Jesus and his destiny. But that letter to the Hebrews invites us and reminds us that that's not just simply for exceptional people who have a dramatic role in salvation history. It is true for every single one of us, that all of us are called to walk in our personal lives and in our family lives as people of faith, and to trust that God's grace and God's work is at work in the lives that we are actually leading. in the reality of our life every day. That God's grace and God's plan was at work for all of those years for Abraham and Sarah when there were no children, when perhaps Sarah was being mocked because there were no children, when Abraham struggled about where is all this going to take me in my life, and is all that I've built up, all that I've worked for, going to be for nothing because there's no one following me? Simeon's words to the Holy Family talk about the reality of the struggle and the suffering that as a family they're also going to face. And you yourself, a sword will pierce, perhaps not literally, but it certainly speaks to the suffering and pain that must have been a part of the life of the Holy Family. And a reminder and a sign that God is working and God's grace is a part of that suffering and pain that this prophet Simeon spoke to the family about and invites us to trust in exactly the same way in our struggle, in our suffering, in our pain, that God's grace is at work in us, that God is walking with us even in our suffering and pain, even in our confusion, even in our frustration where we don't see where any of this is leading or what possible sense any of it can mean. Because we are called like Abraham, like Sarah, like Joseph, like Mary, to be people of faith, to walk in faith, to trust in God's grace, and to turn to the Lord, praying for the wisdom and the guidance that we need to walk in God's ways. The end of Luke's gospel today, I think, is important for us as well. When they fulfilled all the prescriptions, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. That's all we hear, period. And often they talk about the hidden life of Nazareth. The assumption that we make is that it was unremarkable. It was not in any way historic or significant. It was ordinary, everyday, normal life. That's what the scriptures tell us. And that's an important message for us. The Bible stories that we encounter are filled with wondrous events. We just think about the scriptures we have had these last few weeks of the Annunciation, of the birth, of the angels appearing to the shepherds. And it's very dramatic. We hear dramatic stories of healings and miracles in the Gospels. Luke gives us, to use the liturgical word, ordinary time, daily life. And yet Luke makes note of that. And it's a reminder to all of us, where is God's grace to be found? How do we live out our salvation? How do we live out our calling in life? For the most part, in ordinary time, in the stuff of everyday life, of the ordinary virtues of family, of human relations, it's about patience and understanding. It's about kindness and generosity. It is about humble service without whining, moaning, and complaining. It is about mercy and forgiveness, especially when we have to deal with whining, moaning, and complaining, or when we're the one who is guilty, and perhaps in our best self, we should be apologizing for our whining, moaning, and complaining, of generosity that allows us to do something that it's not my job to do, but needs to be done, or just because we see that it'd be easier if somebody gave a hand. It's about listening and paying attention and being attentive to the other person and not just wrapped up in myself and what's so important to me or what it is that I want. The ordinary stuff of daily life, the ordinary stuff of good relationships, the ordinary stuff of a happy, normal, and I would say holy family life. That's what the Holy Family lived in Nazareth, and that's what we are called to live with each other. And that is where our virtue and our holiness, our sanctity, is caught up. Living that way day after day, calling on God's grace, trusting that as with Simeon, as with Anna, as with Mary and Joseph, the gifts of the Spirit are given to us as we need it so that we can live out our calling and our vocation. Finally, I would like to suggest that Simeon also gives us a special example and a blessing. The church uses this, Simeon's canticle, the Latin name is the Nunc Dimittis, at night prayer, Compline, the very last prayer of the day. And the whole idea of night prayer, of Compline, is to take the whole day, everything that we've experienced, and in a sense give it back to God, to put it in God's hands, asking and giving thanks to God for the blessings of this day, giving thanks to God for the moments of grace that we may have experienced, perhaps asking God's mercy and forgiveness, the moments that we have failed. But at the end of the day, like Simeon, to be able to give ourselves and our day completely back to God. That's what Simeon does in his little canticle. Luke notes that he had received this special promise that he was going to live to be able to see the Messiah, that was God's blessing to him. And of course, as someone filled with the Spirit brings him into the temple right then when Mary and Joseph are bringing in the baby, and because he has the Spirit, he sees the child and recognizes who this child is. And what a wonderful moment for Simeon to take that child into his arms, knowing who this child is. What Luke says he does is thank God. And so those opening lines of the Nunc Dimittis is his response to God. Now, Lord, you may let me go in peace because you have fulfilled your will. Your promise has been fulfilled because here is this child, a light to the nations, the glory of your people Israel. Thank you, Lord. My life is complete, and so I give myself to you. What a beautiful practice for each of us at the end of our day. If, like Simeon, we can gather everything that's happened, the good, the bad, the ugly, the puzzling, the painful, the beautiful, the joyful, and like Simeon, give that day back to God. And like Simeon, give ourselves into God's hands, into God's care. Whether it's just for the night until we wake up tomorrow and so begin a new day that the Lord has given us, or perhaps, like Simeon, if not that night, very shortly after, our very last day, we go home to be with the Lord, to have the great family reunion of all of God's people, of all those who have gone before us, of all of our loved ones, of all the Lord has called to be a holy people and a holy family in the Lord.